What's up, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday, January 6th, 2026. Happy New Year to everybody out there. And I hope everybody had a good holiday season. It's been a little while since we've got together, since we've done a pod. I think the last time we did a pod was post-Marquette. So it's been a couple weeks, you know. Holidays get busy, schedules get busy. But we're back at it, ready to roll. Ready for Big Ten play, ready for Big Ten season. And the Boilers got off to a good start for Big Ten season the other night. But first off, I'm Tanner Lee, if you didn't know that already. Coast, Evan Webb, Aaron Lynch in the house. Fellas, how we doing? It, like I said, it's been a couple weeks.
I mean, doing all right. Doing all right. Yeah. The arms 3-0 for the first time in, what, like 8 years?
Yep. For first time 8 years. Yeah.
Only Matt's third time in his, whatever, 20 or 21 years. That's crazy, isn't it?
Didn't lose a December Big Ten game. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't like the fact that Purdue has three home games. Well, I guess students will be back against Iowa. But I don't like that we have two home games, I guess, when students aren't there. I'd rather get some road games out of the way, but it is what it is. We can't complain too much. I mean, the Big Ten schedule makers gave Purdue Michigan, Illinois, Michigan State only once, and then Mackey. So can't complain too much.
And the home games that we have, the home games we have outside of or when the students aren't there aren't the most marquee games. So that's a nice thing in terms of Minnesota and Washington on paper looked like it was going to be a really good matchup, but they've kind of, as West Coast teams have done the last couple of years, the deck is stacked against them when they travel, you know, 3-4 hours for a game.
Yeah. What a mess for those West Coast teams. I thought Brian Newbert brought up an interesting point. I think it was last night on X, like we might be seeing the demise of Oregon basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's a team who made a Final Four just in the last 10 years. A team that when they're in the Pac-12, they were always looked at as always. They were always kind of a top 10, top 15 team for the most part. And yeah, I mean, they have some good talent. They can attract a lot of talent and just given their, you know, obviously it's a big name brand and I don't think they're lacking for NIL, even in basketball. I know probably a lot of it's going to football, but
sure.
But yeah, it's like, I mean, as of right now, I mean, Oregon was looked at as, you know, potential top four team in the Big Ten. Them and UCLA were kind of, depending on who you asked, and right now they're lucky to be middle of the pack.
Have either of you guys watched a lot of hoops outside of Purdue, whether it's in the Big Ten or on a national scale?
Yeah, a decent amount.
I was going to say you probably have. I'll say that I've watched the marquee players. Mm-hmm. Especially the freshmen that are absolutely amazing.
They're incredible.
this might be one of the best freshman classes in years.
Yeah. And one of them's barely even played. Darren Peterson.
Yeah.
Supposed to be tonight. Like it's crazy.
And he's supposed to be the best one of them all.
Yes, he's supposed to be the like runaway favorite for number one pick, and he's barely played.
I definitely think
supposed to start tonight though, I think.
As long as he can stay healthy, I mean, when his comp's coming out of high school or Kobe Bryant, you're like, what?
That's a pretty good comparison.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
And Bill Self said he's the best freshman he's ever recruited. And you're like, there's some darn good freshmen, Wiggins, Embiid, Macklemore, and he's the best one you've recruited. That seems high praise. But, I mean – K-State freshman, why is he like Haggerty? Is it Haggerty?
Is he a freshman? I thought he was a transfer.
I know you have what's his name at BYU. I can't. It's
AJ DeBonta. Yeah, he is.
AJ DeBonta.
He is a freak. You've got Boozer, the Boozer twins, but one of them is way better and will be a top five pick more than likely. There's some. You got the Mikael Brown at Louisville, who's a really good point guard. Yeah, it's just like you said, it's definitely one of the best freshman classes that we've seen in a while.
My friend John Bauer of Between Two Beards says, go Irish, except Shrewsbury, that guy can kick rocks. Yeah, he's not making a lot of friends up there in South Bend right now.
No, he's not. Or in the officiating community.
No. I mean, that's – man, I don't know. What would he have done if his coaches didn't get his way? He might have literally put his hand on the ref.
Yeah, I don't know. When I see that, I do wonder if, like – I feel like they know they're going to get held back. So I feel like part of it has to just be theatrics. I hope so. Because you're talking that elevates from a, you know, possible fine to possible felony real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he also said the NBA draft's going to be crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one, I don't know how I missed it. Koa Pete.
Oh my God. Yeah. For Arizona. Yeah.
Yep.
He kind of put the nation on watch early with the, mm-hmm. with some of their wins. Yeah, he is awesome. And honestly, one that doesn't get talked about a lot just because he was hurt start the year, but Indiana's own Braylon Mullins over at UConn.
Yeah.
He's a one who could be a sneaky lottery pick. I know Dan Hurley loves him over there, and I'm just glad he went. He stayed out of the Big Ten. You know, he was down to UConn and IU basically. Shout out to Woody for botching that recruitment.
Like he did many others.
Yeah, but he's tough. I mean, I know his first road game was at Kansas, and he hit two free throws to steal the game. Like, that's that takes some.
Yeah, that takes some rocks.
Takes some rocks to do that at probably the best college basketball arena.
Yeah, I just feel like I haven't watched a lot of Big Ten basketball outside of Purdue yet this year. And like one thing that, and I know my dad and our good buddy who's an Illinois fan talked about this last night on a different podcast. It feels like the portal and everything has turned Big Ten basketball into, like, you used to know four or five players easily on every team going in every year. And now you just don't know a lot of guys.
Yeah, we were watching, my wife being an IU guy, we were watching the IU Washington game the other night, and I was also like paying closer attention than I normally do, because I was like, well, Purdue plays Washington in a couple days, so I need to kind of figure out, you know, do a little scouting per se. But I was like, oh, Desmond Claude, he played at USC last year. It's like, oh, they're talking about was it Wesley Yates? Like, he played at USC last year. He's out though. And then Bryson Tucker, I was like, oh, he played at IU last year. It's just like, I was like, oh, half this team is from the Big Ten. They've got another really good freshman too. We're gonna see at Purdue tomorrow night. My German, I can't remember his name, but he's like 6'11". He's from Germany. He's like, he's 19, but he's like, he can, I think he shoots like 40% from three, and he's 6'11".
Steinbach.
Yes, he's legit. Yeah. They said in the game when I was watching that they had 23 scouts at the IU Washington game, and it was pretty much all for him.
Wow.
It's nuts.
He's going to be a physical matchup against probably TKR. It's where I think he's probably going to have to roll over to.
Yeah, probably. I think Trey's going to should dominate him inside, but he can stretch it out a lot more than Trey can, which will be an interesting matchup.
So now that we're into January, it's early January, early for the Big Ten season, but where are you guys, how are you feeling so far with Purdue so far this season? About where you thought they'd be, exceeding expectations, below your expectations?
I feel like the Iowa State game has put a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, where it just feels like, compared to where we were like after, like post Alabama game, where it was like, you know, and I don't know if it's just like, which is, it's a natural one, especially when you get your doors blown off at home. I just feel like once that happened, a lot of people, especially like outside people, just kind of wrote pretty well off, like, okay, that's, you know, that's it for them, essentially. Like, so, but I think that game did a lot of good because Purdue's been a different team since then, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I feel like their energy's been a lot better. But Big Ten wise, I'm more so, they're about where I thought they'd be. I'm more surprised at like Michigan. Obviously, they're unreal right now. I still, you know, don't believe it's sustainable. But as of right now, they're just killing everybody.
Yeah, I'd echo that. I think the other thing you meant to add there is rebounding as well.
Oh, yeah.
Closing out a lot better.
Especially Trey. Go back to Trey. Yes. Like, he has been a revelation this year, his ability to rebound the ball.
Well, what you and I talked about last time, him being on the weak side of shots now and being able to be the stronger guy in most cases, because Clough is getting usually the biggest guy there. I mean, that's why in his 12 games, he's averaging 9.8 rebounds. He's almost averaging a double-double in this case. Outside of that, I the record is what I thought would be. I thought we'd probably lose Alabama, though.
Yeah, me too.
And not Iowa State at home in a fashion. I don't think the Michigan thing is sustainable for all the way through March. They're going to wear out, I think.
Yeah, Big Ten's too much of a gauntlet to just run through it.
Yeah, they'll drop. As most teams, they'll drop one they shouldn't. I mean, like I think it was like 2 years ago. Like, granted, or maybe even last year, like they lost to like Minnesota or something. It was like when they were on a hot streak, and I mean, Minnesota's already proven they beat a ranked Indiana at the time when the early December game.
Like, I forgot IU was ranked.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. Someone will slip up somewhere. It's just pretty. Neubert always says, like, you don't win the Big Ten by beating the Michigans, the Michigan State. You win the Big Ten by winning like Tuesday night in Piscataway at 9 o'clock. Like, there are those games that you're not supposed to drop, and usually someone at the top usually always drops one of those.
To Brian's point, though, winning in December, though, and coming out undefeated definitely helps, because that's been an Achilles heel the last couple times going down the stretch. Mm-hmm. We've lost that game in December, Penn State, Rutgers, Northwestern, you name it. Those are kind of the games where they would won. Now we have that buffer to go out and play this. I think where I'm kind of like eye opening is, oh crap, the middle of the Big Ten is now a gauntlet.
Yeah.
Teams that like, I didn't think Iowa was going to be this good this quick.
No, no.
And I did not expect this from Nebraska.
Yeah. I've actually watched a handful of their games just because of the story. I watched a game at Illinois for obvious reasons. But yeah, they're one of those teams though, like I talk about sustainable, like there's as they've been recently, especially under Hoiberg, where it's like if they're not hitting threes, oh boy, like it could get ugly pretty fast for them. But I mean they've done well so far. I mean, you talk about against Illinois, the Sanford kid, his brother played at Iowa. Had like third first half, just really stupid. But yeah, I mean, they grinded one out against Ohio State last night. I think it was what it was. But yeah, they're winning, and credit to them. I've always like Tommy Naga was one of my favorite non-Purdue players in Big Ten, so I've always kind of had a soft spot for Nebraska just because they just run and gun as much as they do. It's fun to watch sometimes, especially when they're hitting and your team's not on the opposite side of that, as we saw a couple years ago where they just ran us out of the gym in Lincoln. But yeah, they've been, you know, some people have said it's like Indiana football, it's just all of a sudden Nebraska's turned into a basketball school.
Well, they have to because their football team's been atrocious.
they lost their quarterback.
It is very telling when you're, I would even say at this point, this Illinois team, it's kind of on that lower, it's still in the middle, it's inching towards the middle tier, and that's a middle tier team that, like, you're going to have to play around. I mean.
Yeah, Illinois intrigues me. The whole, like, because I've watched a fair amount of their games. Again, like most teams, if they're hitting, they're going to be tough to beat. Mm-hmm.
I don't believe under
Coach X's but nose, they've, though. Yeah, it's that. And then also they're not overly athletic. You know, a lot of people kind of had a lot to say about Purdue and their lack of athleticism, but I look at Illinois, it's just obviously a lot of Eastern European guys who are very fundamental, but not a whole lot of explosiveness on that side of the ball. But yeah, that's a team that's, I mean, they're top 20 already. So if they're middle of the pack, that's a pretty damn good middle of the pack.
I think the other thing I know that we didn't touch upon when we covered the Marquette game last time, I did want to talk about tonight since, and I think before we kind of close, go recap Kent State, Washington, Wisconsin last week. What's your guys' thoughts on these NBA, former NBA G League players coming and playing?
Stupid.
Like, yeah.
Where do you draw the line? I mean, come on, NCAA, grow some nuts and draw a line. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. Like, I think it's going to have to get so bad that somebody Congress, somebody is going to have to step in and stop. And yeah. I hate that we're going to have to wait until it gets that bad, because it's just ridiculous. Like, if you make your intentions to go play professional basketball, you're done. You're out of college. You're done.
Yeah.
I just.
Yeah, because it's what sucks is it take just the opportunities it takes away from high school kids. I mean, obviously, like, you know, that's still something that Purdue team that we cover and cheer for, like, they still put a lot of emphasis on.
Can I come out on that one? Scott Drew only had 7 scholarship players.
What?
Scott Drew only had 7 scholarship players on Najee.
Did he really?
Yes. Najee is their 8th. He didn't. Hey, all the rest of the team was walk-ons.
What? Is that, so, I wonder if that's just a like rev share, like if he's just trying to like maximize, you know, maximize payments for guys. If you're only paying, I mean, I'm assuming they're paying to walk on something, but it's like, hey, we're only gonna pay our, we're gonna pay our scholarship guys, you know, a lot more. And if we only have 8 or 7, each guy can have a lot more than if we have 12. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
So that's why he was able to give him a scholarship, and that's why he suited up and played.
Yes, I saw he played. Yeah, I got booed when he came in. I mean, I don't blame the kid. I don't blame the kid at all.
Like, oh, if he can get away from it, like
right, you if know, he can do it, why not? Like,
I mean, we
he's a 22-year-old man. He ain't a kid.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but we can play, and I'm one of them. I complain about the guys getting 6, 7, 8. I guess Illinois has offensive lineman that's going to be in his 8th season.
Oh my god, man, his doctorate.
Like, he graduated high school in 2018, but injury wasted. But like, I don't like it. I'll complain about it. But if I'm in their shoes and I can make money as long as I can, I'm going to do it. So you know,
it's like, I mean, we talk about, like, you know, we complain about guys, you know, going to the portal or whatever. It's like, man, you're such a good switch. But it's like, if I'm not gonna, you know, shame a kid for trying to, you know, make, you know, $150,000 more dollars, like, I'm not gonna blame them. Like,
if it's,
I
mean, in the rules, it's in the rules.
I it's mean, gonna suck, but suck.
The rules just suck.
The group chat says otherwise,
right? But like, at the end of the day, like, I mean who's to say, like, I mean, if you're offered an opportunity to go to another job and double your pay, like, yeah, that's hard tough to turn down, no matter how loyal you've been to your company.
But that's what I agree. Like, Bieneman, like, I don't blame him one bit.
Oh, look at it. I mean, he's playing in the semifinals now, and his draft stock's probably way up than what it would have been. So I get it.
I mean, it sucks and I don't like it, but it's like at the end, it's I don't always, it's like, you don't hate the player, hate the game. And I'm
the rules just suck. The rules
hate the game right now. Like,
I miss the days where you had 5 years to be a college athlete.
I mean, we talk about, I mean, we laugh at, like, because, you know, Robbie Hummel was deemed like the old man of college, and he only played 5 years. But like,
he'd be a spring chicken now.
We got Chad Baker Mazar, who's got like a 12-year-old already.
The one thing it's concerning is, like, the precedent is set, because I know, like, Michigan is toying around with the idea of bringing in one of the Bulls G League players, Flowers. And I'm like, you add him to that roster, this is going to be completely unfair and change the balance of what a conference race is going down the road.
It just sucks for, like, the high school kids who are now losing an opportunity to play at these places because some 23-year-old who, you know, maybe didn't make the best decision for himself coming out of high school, you know, gets, you know, and again, like, I don't, you know, if he knows, like, hey, you know, it didn't work out going to the NBA the first time, you know, I've been stuck in the G League, but I haven't made an NBA roster. Maybe if I go play at a Michigan and ball out for a year, maybe that, you know, gets me into a second round pick or whatever. Like, it's hard to fault them thinking that, but it just, like, just feel bad for the 18-year-old coming out of high school who thinks he's got a spot on a roster, and then all of a sudden he gets, you know, gets taken over by a 24-year-old who's been playing professionally for 6 years.
I mean, like, minor league, and this is kind of go down rabbit hole, and you guys can help me out here because I don't know. But, like, in baseball, if you declare to go pro from college and you're playing the minors, you can't go back, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
Then, like, yeah. What do we do?
You can get drafted, you just can't play. Like, once you're ready to play, can go back if you get drafted. But
so, like, yeah, this G League thing, I mean, they're all G League rosters. Like,
yeah.
Yep,
they're playing against like actual NBA guys who are you know, on rehab or whatever. Yeah. Like,
if it's not working, go to Europe.
Yeah, yeah,
or China, or anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah. Like, man,
it's What a world. It is a world that I would never thought we'd live in. Going back to the high schoolers, why don't we give high schoolers 8 years? Then we screw up as society.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. 8 years. So, yeah, 22-year-olds go to school with 14 and 15-year-olds. That's not going to create any problems at all.
Isn't the American public school system already messed up enough? Why don't they just make it worse?
I mean, we already got eighth graders going to high school with high schoolers. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's go back to the one classrooms at this point. That's what I think sometimes in America we want to do. But my concern is, I go back to what Tanner said. I'm going to get this back on the rails here. The intention is, if you went and made that decision, you have to live with that decision.
Yes.
Yes.
And if you took pay or not, you still made the intention and decision.
Yeah. If it you waived your out, right.
Yes.
Feel free to go back and go to class, but
yeah,
you know, go get play intramurals. Yeah.
You know, you didn't come here to play school. We know that.
Yeah.
But like an XFL player going and playing college football.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't see this PGA golf, any other sport. It would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like Rory McIlroy saying, I'm just going to go play for Stanford.
Which I learned the other day, if he came to America, he was going to go to East Tennessee to play golf.
Really?
That blew my mind. I don't know. It just blew my mind. I'm like, wow.
I forgot. Charlie's probably not going to Stanford. I think Charlie Woods is probably going to Florida. Probably. So, yeah. But
yeah, well, it's just like Pate said, like, we want to know what the rules are. Like,
yeah,
make some damn rules. Like,
yeah,
and Izzo, Calipari, you know, guys I haven't liked in the past, I got to stand by what they're saying right now.
They're like, yeah, it feels weird.
They're
calling, you know, it's messed up, and we're agreeing with Izzo.
I know.
I will agree. I think they might be done unless Saban, because from what Saban said on McAfee, like, they're bending his ear to become like a commissioner of this.
I think he'd be great if he did.
He'd be great, yeah.
Saban would restore all this. I would think back to what it was.
100%. I think he'd be perfect.
And the thing is, then what you think about records, because things are going to be broke with some of these players. They're going 8 years.
Right.
He might have the pancake record at this point. We don't know.
Right. It's, yeah. Yeah. Which, speaking of records, we did see Braden Smith become the all-time assist leader in the Big Ten, passing Cassius Winston, which is awesome. Still got a ways to go to get Danny Hurley for all-time NCAA, but it's attainable. I mean, it's going to take a great, great season and a lot of wins by Purdue, but it's not out of the realm that it can happen. I think you guys covered this last month, but I wasn't on, and I don't remember how in-depth you guys went with the discussion, so I'm throwing it out there again. Your Mount Rushmore of Purdue basketball players all time is Braden Smith on the Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
Man.
He doesn't need to win a Big Ten player of the year for me.
I think in our lifetime, he definitely is.
Oh, yeah.
But 100%. All time, I think there's.
Man, you're talking. You're talking some.
I know. It's tough.
What he has done,
I feel like there's three that I think are absolute locks.
Yeah, but we already agreed to that. It was like, are you putting Lewis or are you putting him? Are you putting Barry? I mean, you're
Rick Lucas, Eddie. Lewis who?
Oh.
You're not talking Lewis Jackson, are you?
Or Lewis?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. It's been a long day. I just went back to work this week.
Yes. No, I'm just giving you a hard time. I just said Lewis. I'm thinking Lewis Jackson and Mount Rushmore. I mean, I like Lou Jack, but my goodness. Maybe for a short length.
Yes, bring those back.
Obviously, because you got Edie, you have Glenn, and you have Mount are your three locks. Yep. And then your fourth, I mean, I guess it depends on like what your criteria. I mean, like, you could throw, I mean, someone like Robbie in terms of like got Purdue back. Like, that's a tough one. He was an All-American twice, I'm pretty sure. Was it twice?
Time out, no. Because that whole class got it back. It just wasn't Robbie. It was Juwan, it was Etwan. It was Scott Martin, even for that, to bring in that pizzazz till he left.
They weren't the same when Robbie was hurt, though. I'll just say that.
That's true.
Etwan, Juwan still won Big Ten Player of the Year.
Yeah. He did.
I still think Etwan. I have a soft spot for Etwan in my heart. Like, push come to shove, I might choose him over the other two. He was so underappreciated. But, you know, and the old timers, well, okay, there's no old timers that remember him playing, but they'll say John Wooden, but he was playing pretty much when the peach baskets were up. So, right. I mean, that's a whole different conversation.
That class might be dead.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you throw in like a Joe Barry Carroll, he was number one pick.
No,
like
that's he got Purdue to Final Four.
Yeah.
So did Braden.
No, true.
Yeah, mostly Edie, but yeah, Braden helped.
I even think like in our lifetime, I think he's on there. But filling out the four, I think, is tough. I mean, that's how, you know, we've been spoiled over the past decade in particular of Purdue basketball. I mean, some of the upsets have sucked in the NCAA tournament. We've been spoiled with a lot of good players.
Mm-hmm. Do you put him over Biggie? That you won Big Ten Player of the Year? Biggie had all those double-doubles.
If I only have to choose one, I choose him over Biggie.
Only because he's stuck around longer, and so he's done more.
So he's... Correct. He's more memorable. And all I think about Biggie is Little Rock.
That's what you think about Biggie?
He was a freshman that year. He wasn't even.
Yeah, but we had Hammonds that year.
That's what I think about. When I think about Little Rock, I think AJ not won the ball the last 5 minutes. God.
And Vince, like his just battery died in his controller.
I just remember Hammonds not won the ball the last 5 minutes. Like, dude. Take over. Yeah.
Biggie had a 25% turnover rate that year. It was awful.
He was awful for a 5-star freshman.
I remember clanking that three against Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament with under a minute left. We're down one, and he squares up for a three. But hell of a sophomore year by the guy.
Yeah.
But
I don't think Braden wins probably Big Ten Player of the Year this year. But unless he just goes unconscious and starts shooting – But I don't think he needs to, like, score 25 to 30 points a game anymore.
Oh, no, but there's going to be games, like, I want him to look for a shot a little more. So there's going to be games we need him to score. And I get it. He is arguably the best passer in NCAA basketball, or he is the best passer in NCAA basketball. But, like, I feel like he's looking to pass first too much at times.
But when you have an arsenal of, like, when that rotation is coming out, CJ's more comfortable. Fletcher is getting shots. You can dump it down the Clough. Clough is literally almost buckets. And then you also have your little short arm crap from TKR. That thing is so ugly. Push from the free throw line. And that's just like.
He doesn't do free throws anymore. So.
Yeah. Well,
I was listening to that podcast with your dad, and I didn't even think about that. It's like he's had 21 free throws all year. It's like he was at the line every time he turned around last year.
A game last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also throwing lobs to Jacobson.
True.
That pass was awesome.
Yeah, it was. Yes.
And you still have Benter, and you still have Jakari coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Also, they're getting assists. And he's also out there. I think he's getting his shots, though, when Meyer's out there. And I'd hope that Meyer would take this opportunity to develop, because it would be great for him to become a passer and a scorer next year, because that'd be elite.
He's a freshman.
That kid never met a shot he didn't like.
Oh, he loves to shoot the rock.
But that's my thing is, like, let's switch roles around. Why don't you watch someone actually go to work and get him the ball?
Yeah.
It is – I did the math. It's 10.6. I guess you guys have done for regular season games that he'd have to average. He's averaging 9.8 right now. So – he needs a couple games. Like, he needs to continue the trend that he's doing since Iowa State's loss.
Right.
In regards to averaging, which is very – well, this week it's going to be very possible, in my opinion.
Yeah.
For him to drop 18 assists one game. So, I think it's going to happen.
Shots if he needs.
I'm expecting Scott Skiles' game of him getting 30 assists, Ooh. Too.
Oh, my God.
I was wondering about that with the Wisconsin – I know I texted a group of, like, I hope guys aren't, like, thinking about it when they catch the ball, like, because I'm just like, hey, like, we're close. Like, I don't want to be the guy that ruins this, but hopefully now that he's got it and he's still a ways away from the NCAA one, like, hopefully guys are just letting it rip. Because it just felt like, so when CJ missed a couple, I was like, man, CJ's been money lately. Yeah. And like, obviously you're on the road and that's different, but
I don't think they care.
I hope not. I think that too. Like,
but they're aware. But they're aware.
Yeah. I'm sure
they're aware, but it's also. It's early January. They don't care. Right, they'll see it at the end of the day. But box scores. They're not stopping the game like Browns did, or when the Saints played the football team and they stopped the entire game and Breeze was going around the stadium. I mean,
like, I wonder, like, doing... I wonder when Braden got it, if he even knew. Like, somebody was talking trash to that fan, but I wonder if it was more just because it was an and one and that sort of thing. But you wonder if, like, in the moment, if he even knew it was.
I think they announced it because his mom started cheering because they put a picture of her up. So I think they announced that the TV break.
Or mom and dad just knew and were aware of how many
I'm needed. I'm sure they were box score watching for sure.
I'm guessing the PA announcer announced it. So.
But it was interesting. Like, after that happened, for a little bit, it seemed like our team took the foot off the gas a little bit.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Which I didn't like that. But
yeah, even like myself just like watching, I was kind of like half paying attention, like kind of like, you know, looking at Twitter, and I was like, okay, we're up 15 or up 17. Okay, we're up 15. It's like, oh my God, we're up 11. Like,
yeah.
There's like 6 minutes left. Like, this game is not over.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we were up 24. I'm like, we're going to cruise the 30 plus win. The Kohl Center.
On the road.
Kohl Center.
Yeah.
Which, like, did it bother you guys? Like, the broadcast was acting like Purdue hadn't had a lot of success at the Kohl Center. I'm like, they're one of the more successful teams at the Kohl Center. If you look it up, like,
ever since 2007, Purdue's probably been a team to come in there. Yeah.
This isn't Ohio State. They would probably think the Kohl Center and the Value City Arena.
You're probably right. Ohio State's been a thorn in Purdue's side, especially over there over the years. Mm-hmm. But a good win on the road, like anytime you win on the road in the Big Ten is good. Anytime you can do it by double digits, even better.
And definitely that was a game I was glad to go on the road when we did. Because like that's one, like, you know, it's one thing to go to the Barn in Minnesota, like, that's going to be empty regardless, or go to Piscataway. I mean, Piscataway can be a hornet's nest sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So Jersey Mike, don't doubt the Jersey Mike's arena.
Yeah, but like the Kohl Center, I was really glad students weren't there. That's one that I'm always glad to go to over a break because they usually pack it out. So
get a Washington home tomorrow, Penn State at home on Saturday. Washington played at Indiana on Monday night, lost by 10. The last two matchups against Washington last year was on the road, which Purdue won 69-58. And then you got to go back before that in March of 2009, NCAA tournament, which Purdue won 76-74. So not a lot of history between the two programs.
Which is surprising.
Yeah.
Pac-12, even being a pretty Pac-12 and Big Ten opponent, but.
Whereas Penn State, going back to 1949-1950, Purdue's played Penn State the 10th most times. They've played them 61 times, overall record 47-14 against Penn State. So, and that makes sense. They were of the original, you know, they were the 11th Big Ten team. And they didn't come in until the 90s. So that makes sense because your ninth opponent's Iowa, and Purdue's played them 130 times. So quite the gap. 11th is Butler, 40 times. That's interesting.
Before we jump in, do we want to talk anything about Kent State or Minnesota? Okay. They're all news.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Took care of business.
Kent State, that actually, I know, Tanner, you didn't watch because you didn't buy Big Ten. I was at the game, but you didn't buy Big Ten.
Well, I listened to it on the radio. I actually found there was a guy on YouTube that put it on.
There's always somebody. There's always somebody.
So somebody
to the high seas.
I tried to watch it. I know it's all student production. It just bugged me, so I'm like, I'm gonna listen to Rob and Bobby. So
yeah, no, there was a guy, was a player for Kent State who was like 6'7", 6'8", but he was like 270, and he didn't do well that game.
I did,
but he could. Yeah, I think I yelled that. It's like, you want to come play football? we need some people.
We do need a tight end.
I think he shoots pretty well from three. I was like, man, this is like Nate Benoit, but good. But he was pretty, like, he walked out there and I was like, good Lord. He was like, his arms were like twice the size of my thighs. I felt like he was huge and he could move. Like Right. It did a good job of shutting down. It was cool to see Tommy Luce, who's on their bench. Yeah. They announced him before the game. Like, after they did the coaching for them, they announced that he came back. So that was cool. But yeah, took care of business. It was, you know, I was at the game, luckily, and Mackey, despite not having any students, was what you'd expect. It was still packed out, and it was a lot of fun.
And that game was a 9.
What? Ticket prices were high that game. I was shocked.
Yeah, same.
9-day rest going in that game. Kent State had 10 wins. Like, it could easily been a sloppy game for Purdue, but Purdue just took care of business.
Yeah. Yeah, that I think what I think that was like Kent State's like first real test, like real big boy opponent, which usually those teams have played like a couple Power Four teams, but I think Purdue was like one of the first, and I was like, that's a rough one to start with going on the road at Mackey.
Yeah, usually they have a couple games they want to go get some checks, and boost up their resume a little bit if they're able to get an upset. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do in the MAC for sure.
Yeah,
I don't know who's supposed to be good in the MAC this year.
Akron.
Gross. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. He should get another pretty decent job, I think, one of these days. But
yeah,
sometimes being the big fish in a small pond, though, is fun.
True.
Because he took him to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Last two years.
Yeah, he's done a good job. Done a good job. I mean, yeah, and I don't think he'll get like an Illinois type job, but maybe like Butler if it come open.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to retire.
I don't know. They needed to do something.
I was at the Indy Classic. He cannot walk very well. He's had a lot of health problems. Yeah, I get that. But I was like, man, he like just like remember watching him at Mac here at Big Ten tournaments. Like, man, he looks 40 years older than he did 10 years ago.
And I know why he took the job. He's trying to get them back on track, but it's not going very well. It's Butler's a job that's been hurt big time by portal. I don't know what their NIL situation is, but by portal and everything. And even since they joined the Big East, it just hasn't went well for them.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it was Brad Stevens. I mean, dude, amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But any concerns going into the Washington and Penn State games? I think they both should be relatively easy wins for Purdue at home.
Yeah. I mean, watching the Washington IU game, I felt like Washington had an advantage down low, and they just weren't even – I just felt like they weren't – maybe Indiana for taking that away, but it didn't feel like they were. It just felt like Washington was settling for a lot of outside shots, and they just weren't hitting. They're not a great three-point shooting team. I say that now, and, of course, they're going to hit, like, 45% tomorrow. Because they have some decent size, and like I said, they've got that the kid from Germany who's got some size and can move. Like, I'm surprised I didn't see him, because like Indiana didn't have anybody outside of their center who's now come off the bench. Like, in terms of like with that size and quickness, I thought maybe he would have a big advantage, and they just didn't. I mean, they were able to force some turnovers late and kind of make the game closer than it really was. But I'm not too worried. I mean, Desmond Claude, I mean, he torched Purdue last year, and that was last year in the Big Ten tournament. We played USC. So that's obviously a familiar name. Zoom Diallo is pretty good. They do have some decent size, but I think still Purdue should take care of business.
It's 8:30 tip on BTN. Purdue is 16.5-point favorites. I just saw the line there. Then Saturday against Penn State, of course, there's not a line out, but that is also BTN by a 2:00 tip. So. Mm-hmm. Saturday matinee, which the big game Saturday, Big Ten is going to be number 10 Nebraska at Indiana at noon on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
Do you think IU cares if they win the night before?
If they win the night before, no, they won't care.
If they win the night before, that place will probably be pretty hopping. Like, people will just be excited, and then they'll just carry that over from the night before.
Yeah.
They're not gonna have students for that game. Well, maybe they're back.
It'd be the weekend, so it'd be the weekend before school starts.
But I don't know if it's included in their season ticket package. Like, that's the thing. It couldn't be, because it's still technically break.
Yeah. Nebraska's for real, but it wouldn't shock me if Indiana gets them that one.
No, not at all. I'm expecting it.
Yeah, and then they'd probably be ranked again.
Yeah,
I do want to call out something about Washington. I was looking at the roster earlier today. You know Brandon Roy's brother's on this team?
I could not have told you that.
Really? Interesting.
He's a freshman. He doesn't play, but I was looking at the roster.
That's a big age gap between brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happens. Brandon Roy's like he's
been out of league for a while.
I was like, I remember watching him when I was young.
We were in middle school, high school.
That's a while ago.
And switching gears a little bit, Webby, I know you only got 5 to 10 minutes left. I did want to switch gears real quick, talk a little football, because the transfer portal's open as of last week on the second, and it closes
16th.
So, yeah, come up 10 days. Thing, yeah. So we got this window, but Boilers are moving hot and heavy. They've lost some guys to the portal, but they're also starting to gain a lot of guys from the portal. And I like this strategy of trying to go get some high-profile players from the FCS. That's what I was harping on to do the last few years, and they really didn't do it.
Yeah, I think that's – I mean, might as well. I mean, we've seen the, you know, high-star kid who hasn't done anything at an SEC school, a Georgia and Auburn type of thing, and just not work out for a lot of those guys. So might as well go get someone who is produced and is hungry and at least, like, has a knowing that they can do it just now, just at a – hopefully at a bigger level. Yeah, I've been pretty happy with what we've seen so far. I mean, obviously, there's a lot that needs to be done, but, like, you know, obviously we've lost some guys that sucks. You know, Tuggle, I know he's had some dropping issues, but it still would have been nice just to have someone, some consistency, especially when you talk about, you know, wide receiver quarterback relationships and
just kind of knowing them. I still would be shocked if he. I know he's looking at Vanderbilt, South Carolina. Who's the third?
Auburn.
I'd still be shocked if he got as much playing time at those schools as he did Purdue, but.
Right. Never know. Yeah. But I mean, the fact you kept Correa, which was obviously probably the biggest keep that we had. You've had some guys who said they're going to go in the portal, but they've, you know, changed their minds. That's been awesome. But
Smiley Bradford, you know, probably be the biggest.
Yeah. Smiley Bradford. Yeah. Hines. Yeah.
Hines, yeah.
I like what they, you know, the kid from Jackson State, who they got to the running back, he looks like he's got some legit speed. So hopefully,
I'd love to have a good returner. It's been years.
Returner, you know, a slot guy, like something. We got the running back out of Texas, who, you know, looks the part. I mean, he looks huge.
He had over 100 yards against Florida.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, he redshirted this last year. It sounds like he may have some fumbling issues. So hopefully, you can kind of work that out. But I mean, that's one area that needs a complete overhaul. With Mock departing. But yeah, it's been, it all seems exciting now. Hopefully sure. It was exciting at this point last year.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can, it's nice. What I've seen so far, I've been pleasantly pleased and surprised with. So.
Yeah. It's like you said, it all seems nice now. We'll see come fall, but I still would like to see him grab a quarterback, even if it's just to compete with Ryan Brown. I did see right when we started recording, Malachi Singleton signed with Appalachian State.
Yep.
So he's not coming back. I didn't think he was going to come back, but he's officially not coming back.
Why would you want to come back to QB power?
Great question. I would like to get a tight end.
I need that.
You never can have too many linemen.
So you're missing the most important group of them.
Yeah, they keep getting office linemen from USC, but you know, of course, that's the new O-line coach coming from USC.
Yeah,
or previously Fresno State, the previously before that USC.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
we'll see. I mean, they're not getting the marquee names, and we didn't expect them to get the marquee names. Not many schools get the marquee names. There's not tons and tons of marquee names out there. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, but. Can't
before
be
much you go, well, I want bowl prediction this week. Also, players of the game.
Mm-hmm.
For those two.
Let's see here. For Washington, I'm going to go.
How about 80, just two players a week? Just two players a week.
Players of the week. Okay, players of the week. I'll do players of the week and I'll do a bowl prediction. Players of the week, I'm going to go. We have CJ Cox. I think he's got two big games back at Mackey. Had a little bit of a shooting slump at Wisconsin.
He still hit like three of them though, didn't he?
He still did, yeah. But he
just takes a lot.
Yeah. And bold prediction. Man, this is tough. Okay, I'll go bold. Braden has 30 assists between these two.
That's still good. I thought you were going to call it one game. I was like,
no.
Holy smokes.
He won't play enough for that to happen.
Yeah, guys have to hit a lot of shots for that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, if they are, then we're going to be up 40 and Painter's pulling him at the 16-minute timeout.
Leave him in is what I would be chanting. That's bold.
I got something really bold.
Go for it. Really,
Aaron Fine hits double digits in points this week.
That's really bold. I like it, though.
That'd be awesome.
That's take care of business twice to give him enough minutes to do that.
Yeah.
I'll go with one player for both players of the game, and it's going to be part of my bold prediction. I think Trey Kaufman-Wren, and I think he hadn't scored 20 points yet in the game. I think he does it both. 20? I think he does it both games this week. I think he's got good ahead of him.
I think Big Ten is going to unlock him.
Yeah, another level. It's just a matter of time. We haven't needed him really to do that yet.
Yeah, do it. Crazy.
He was not good against Iowa State. Nobody really was, but he had a really bad day that day. So
yeah.
Player of the week, bold prediction is going to be the same with me. it's not me. I think Fletcher puts up over 40 this week.
My dude,
both games.
He's on my Mount Rushmore.
We'll improve to 13-1 when Fletcher goes over 20 points a game. I think Jacobson's probably going to have a big week too. I think Clough will probably get subbed out, and Jacobson probably get some minutes logged, which is probably what we need as well. So,
ooh, I got a question. I don't think he took one against Wisconsin. Does Benner continue his perfect streak from three?
No.
Through these next two games?
No.
Not through two. I think he hits two for two against Washington, but then misses one against Penn State.
One for three against Washington.
But he's going to be good.
Yeah.
He's going to be real good. Yeah. So, well, Webby, before you leave, do you want to pay one of our bills for us?
Yeah. We're happy to have the shop back for another season of Boiler Breakdown. They've been making hometown apparel since 2011. Started out in the garage, and they've got three retail locations. Hopefully, if you're around the Indianapolis area, you're able to stop. If you're coming from the Indy Classic or just for around the holidays, you're able to stop in one of their three locations. I know my dad was around Indy during, and he actually sent me a picture. I was like, hey, is this the same company that sponsors you guys? So, shout out. I know he went to the downtown Indy location, but they've got one in Carmel, one in Broad Ripple, one in downtown Indy. This is kind of like a great time. They're kind of going hot and heavy with a bunch of stuff they just announced. They've got a whole slew of things releasing over the next week or so. I know Purdue Script is coming next week, I believe it is. The exact date, I can't remember. But they've got awesome stuff going. I got a Purdue Script coffee mug or tumbler for Christmas, which is, I needed a new one badly, so happy to have that. It was probably one of my favorite things I got. But they're great. We're happy to have them. If you're shopping online, use promo code Breakdown. You get free shipping on your entire order.
Yeah, I was going to bring up their site, but I didn't want to bring up what's on their homepage. So,
nope.
I'm on a pre-podcast right now, so I've seen enough of that. So, I'm sure those are selling well for them, and I hope they are for them. So,
I actually saw they set some like their top sellers of 2025, and I was surprised. I'm gonna see if I can find it real quick.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Because I thought like for sure, I know like, I think like the Big Ten champs for IU, like their sweatshirt was like one of the top ones, which like obviously, man, if I can find it quickly. This is a lot. Yeah. Okay. This is the number one seller in 2025 for the shop. Guess the team it went to.
Colts.
Ohio State.
Pacers. Their Zoom baby shirt that they had.
Wow. For finals.
For the conference finals. Yeah.
Yep.
I thought actually it might be the three. Indiana Jones.
That was number four. Their top three were all blue and gold. They're not technically Pacers.
Well, the state got around them when they made the finals, or now they just suck.
Yeah. Number two was their 80s jersey for the blue and gold. Number three was Eastern Conference champs. Number four was Indiana Jones, which is a great shirt. Number five was a 500 Speedway. Number six was the Overrate That with the choke hands. Number seven was another Speedway shirt. Number nine was a IU Big Ten Champs sweatshirt. Number nine, or that was number eight. Number nine was the Why Not Indiana for the blue and gold. And then number 10 was the IU Big Ten champs. In
the it's interesting, though, the only two colleges there were some of the latest IU ones. But you think about it, like when it comes to the pro teams, no matter who you're a fan of college, you can like that pro team. Mm-hmm. So you got more chance. That makes sense.
I would have thought with Ohio State winning the national chop title.
That was a good guess. Yeah, that was a good guess.
Yeah. We know one Cincinnati baseball team. need to get a deal with your guys' White Sox, even though it's not State of Indiana, but close enough. Maybe
I'm just happy they spent money.
Maybe they'll move to Indiana, like the Bears are saying they might.
No. Or the Bears are looking. I don't know how that's going
to
work.
Sox to the rail yard, baby. Let's go.
Right down the road from Lynch.
Yeah.
Season tickets.
No. I'll be honest. I'm not going to do night games. So I'd be selling the night games and be going to away.
That's fine.
Getaway That's fine. Games.
That's fine.
They did change time. So I'm going to take that offline. They're starting half an hour earlier every night now.
And Lynch, you want to pay, do the read for our other bills, and Evan's got to sign off. We'll see you, Webby.
Yep.
See you.
I guess before we pay the our other bills, do you want to go through playoff prediction?
Oh, yeah, we might as well. I got some time.
I did want to speak about KenPom because it's getting that time of year where we probably should talk about KenPom. Pretty moved up in the ranks at four now in the KenPom. Michigan's number one. Net rating looks pretty good. Now that non-con's done, besides I think the silly game that happens like in late February in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, it's stupid.
We ended our net ranking at 34. The teams above us, Iowa State has a two. Their non-con ranking is 243. And Arizona's 104. Michigan's better than us, though, in every set category. 15, best KenPom rating across. I've never seen one like this. I think it's going to come down to us and them for number one seed in the Midwest, unfortunately.
Well, I wouldn't count out Iowa State either.
I think they're going to be a number one seed, but I think when you get your pick, I think they'll be a number one seed, but it's going to be probably, let's say, the East or the West or the South, because I truly think the overall number one seed is probably going to come out of the Big Ten for the Midwest.
Okay.
Unless Arizona somehow just runs through the Big 12, because, I mean, it's going to come down to Arizona and Iowa State for Big 12.
Yeah, that's true. I keep forgetting Arizona's part of the Big 12 now. Yeah.
And BYU in there, too.
Yeah.
As well. So just something we can keep our eye on moving forward here in conference play. So sitting solid, I would say that we're still in line for a number one seed.
Yeah, just got to take care of business.
Yep. All right. Any thoughts from last weekend's games? Real quick, real predict.
Yeah. College football, right? That's what we're talking about?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. I mean, a lot of surprising results. I didn't think Miami was going to beat Ohio State. They did. I thought Carson Beck would give Ohio State a few free gifts and cost them the game, but he didn't. The way Indiana pushed around Alabama, I still don't know if Alabama deserved to be in the playoff, but they did beat Oklahoma. Notre Dame was a lot better than Alabama was, but the way they dominated the line of scrimmage was just amazing. Alabama panicked in the first half, and when they went for on their own side of the field and didn't get it, game was pretty much over then. Ole Miss, what a story. I don't know if they can sustain it much longer, but what a story knocking out Georgia there. And then didn't surprise me that Oregon beat Texas Tech, but it surprised me how they did it. It's pretty crazy in the 2 years of the play of the 12-team playoff, Indiana's the only team with a bye to have won.
Yes.
That's pretty crazy. So
I do. Them dominating – Alabama can't run the ball.
No, which is weird to see. Season. Which Correct. Is weird to see.
I'm actually surprised he wasn't fired before.
Oh, I think his seat's red hot for next year. So,
I'm surprised he didn't want to leave with Harbaugh being fired today. That was kind of a little surprising given how many been there almost two decades.
Yeah, 18 years. He'll get a job. He'll get a job. If he wants one, he'll get a job.
Correct. If he wants one.
Yeah.
The Miami Texas Tech game really surprised me given that I mean, Texas Tech is the most expensive roster in college football, almost at $30 million. Will be over $30 million now after this portal cycle.
Mm-hmm.
To see Joey McGuire's team like look that bad on offense, that was horrendous. It looked like one of our games out there. I'm not gonna lie. Oregon's defense is legit. Dante Moore. I'm glad that we're getting this rematch of Indiana Oregon because that was, I thought, one of the better games this regular season. Going back and forth, but I used to want to even throw in a pick six by 10 at their place. So it's going to be interesting to see how I think Dan Lanning is. I mean, Cignetti is the best coach in college football. I there's no doubt in my mind now.
I don't know how anybody could argue that with what he's done.
I still think Dan Lanning though, is top five.
No, he's good. He's real good.
So I think Thursday night's matchup in the Fiesta Bowl, it's going to be, I think Miami's D-line is going to be too much with Mesidor and Bain. Bain should be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, he's a beast.
He is probably the best pass rusher since Myles Garrett coming out of the draft.
Yeah.
Someone's going to get lucky in that top five, maybe the Giants probably. They'll have Abdul Carter, him, Thibodeau.
Yeah, they have a nice young squad if they can all stick together.
The elite pass rushers they would have.
Yeah.
They just don't have coaching.
Watch, that could be an interesting fit for Harbaugh if he's interested. That, I don't know.
That's the best job.
Yeah.
Charlie Weiss, I'm surprised Kiffin doesn't want to go and interview for it.
Hey, who said he's not? Who said he's not?
The AI picture of him being the president of Venezuela was the one that just lost it. I will say this. I think Miami wins that Ole Miss game.
Yeah, I do too, which is going to be interesting with Miami hosting the national championship.
It will.
Even though the fans don't care.
Our friend don't care either.
No.
So it's going to be interesting. Carson Beck, as I thought this would be a Miami versus Georgia and him seeing his old head coach and team.
Yep.
Didn't play out that way. So Miami's D line though is NFL with Mesidor and Bain, just legit.
Yeah, they're beasts.
And also what's his name, number 10, that wide receiver freshman.
Yep. Is it Tory?
Tony.
Yeah.
He's legit. He's going to be an NFL wide receiver as well down the road.
What annoys me about Miami, and you're probably the same way, is get Michael Irvin and Ray Lewis off the sidelines. I've seen enough of Michael Irvin on TV. I don't care if let him come to the game. That's cool. Put him in the stands. They don't need to be on sidelines. Oh, yeah, I'm getting tired of seeing Michael Irvin every other play.
I'm tired of it too, but he's got, I mean, Cowboys suck, so.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it. It'll be interesting. This one will probably all the Willis McGahee read all those guys.
Not Warren Sapp. He tried a few weeks ago. They made him sit in the stands and he was all pissed off. I'm like, Warren, you're an active assistant coach for Colorado.
Correct.
Miami should not grant you sideline access. Like that. That made me laugh.
Vince Wolfert would be on there though.
Yeah. Like,
if he would be there, if Clayes Campbell, all those dudes.
Oh, yeah. They've got the best lineage of pros.
Absolutely. Oh, them in Ohio State, I think.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah.
On the Big Ten game, who'd you pick for this one?
I picked Miami. I think Miami's going to win.
Okay. So we agree with Miami. Who do you think is going to win the Peach Bowl?
I hate it, but I think Indiana's going to win.
Nah.
You've been saying that all year. And it backfires. So I hope you're right. I hope to God you're right. I was going the whole thing.
I think Thieneman's going to pick six and end the game.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be so sweet.
And ask for the bucket, too.
I almost said, we'll give it to him. But, yeah, we don't have it.
We don't have it. We probably won't get it back for a long, long time, in my opinion.
Probably not. Point. Probably not.
We have a week before that. But I think if – regardless the Big Ten game of Oregon or IU is going to fill up that stadium.
I think the winner of that game wins it all.
I don't know. That D line is legit.
It is very good, but if you can get Carson Beck to throw some picks, which IU could if they play him.
But Tony is so good.
Yeah.
He literally just throws it to that freshman. That freshman outruns everyone.
Yeah.
He's like Tyreek Hill almost out there. So we'll see what happens this week. I think it'll be – I think the committee – I hope they don't go to 16, but I think they will. I think they got it right because your top four teams can't beat outside of the best coach team can't win the first game.
Right.
Which is surprising because Ryan Day, that was embarrassing.
Nah, he just they fell apart at the end of the year.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't know how many first round picks that team's going to have too.
Yeah, this team was more talented than last year's team and won it all. So,
well, you have Downs, you have Curry. Those are two bona fide first round picks.
Smith will be next year, but he can't be this year.
Tate will be one.
Yeah.
So you have three. It could be who's the offensive lineman that's eligible? He's the right guard.
I don't know his name.
I'd love to have first round picks, but my team doesn't.
Yeah, we would. Oh, you mean, I thought you meant Purdue, but yeah, the Colts. Yeah, you wish. Yeah, they traded for Sauce. So
I would love for any of my teams to succeed at football at this point.
That's fair. I'm enjoying it while I can. So I'm the pro side. So
at least Brom was good when your team sucked.
That's true.
Not living through this every day at this point.
And even the Hazel years, Peyton Manning was in Denver. So exactly. I usually had one or the other. That's true.
Exactly.
That's true.
You know what? Bears moved to Northwest Indiana. Maybe I changed my team.
There you go. I'd allow it. That happened.
I'm where they're trying to build the site. I know we're getting off site, folks. The site that they're trying to build it on is literally.
They're just using that as a pressure move. So
I don't think so. Happen.
You really think it might happen?
I don't think the state of Illinois can afford the Bears anymore.
That'd be pretty bad, tradition-wise.
State property tax cap at 3%, so they would never pay more, unlike what they do in Arlington Heights. The state of Illinois wants them to redo the infrastructure around Arlington Heights. That's why would you tell the Bears to do that? That's stupid.
Yeah.
And Braun's already stated, and there's already a bill passed to get a sports, like professional sports team over here in Northwest Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I would thought it had been on 94, like near Gary Highland area, but that Hammond area is what they want because you can see Chicago.
Yeah.
From there.
Yeah.
But it's going to be horrendous for parking and traffic, and they're going to have to fill that lake around it. So the White Sox will never move here. Just going to tell you right now, it's not going to happen. They'll move downtown. Ishbia ain't going to move this team. Reinsdorf doesn't have the money, nor does Michael. So it's not happening. And then the Bulls and the Blackhawks ain't moving.
Nah.
So, and the Cubs are never moving.
But no, God, no. Could you imagine? They moved out of Wrigleyville.
I can imagine our friend how livid he would be.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I did see some renderings of them potentially redoing around the stadium though.
Didn't they just do that not too long ago? Yeah.
I just love that the White Sox have spent more than them this offseason.
Yeah, the whole NL Central sitting on their hands. So
it's bad. It's bad.
Real bad.
It's bad.
We went down a rabbit hole, folks. I apologize.
And if you're still here, we're going to tell you about our other great sponsor, yes. Mad Mush.
Yes.
So the Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mush, serving Boilermakers since 93. Mad Mush is located in the heart of West Lafayette and was known as a home of the original cheese stick. But whenever any of us, the Boiler Breakdown crew, are in town, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer, and try out the latest piece of the month, which is Sweet Heat Barbecue Meats. It is a light layer of barbecue sauce topped with pepperoni, sausage, ham, bacon, ground beef, banana peppers, and mozzarella cheese finished with a barbecue drizzle. So next time you're in town and you order online, use our code BREAK5 for $5 off any order over $20, including the pizza of the month or any cheese sticks, anything. You can't go wrong there at Mad Mush.
Wings, yep. Have a beer if you're going there and have a ride set up for yourself or just drink responsibly.
Or just cross the street.
Or just cross the street, yeah. All good. All good
stuff. Cross the street to the one of the best establishments in town, too. So yeah,
very good point. Very good point.
Remember, use that code BREAK5 on your next online order. Mad Mush, feed your head.
Yep. I need to get down there and get in there. It's been a while. So any final thoughts, Lynch, as we wrap up the first pod of 2026?
Just go 2-0 this week.
Yep.
This is the easiest. 2-0 and stay healthy. This is the easiest week they're going to have in Big Ten play. in my
opinion. One thing I meant to mention is we have these two games, and we have Iowa next week at home. That's three home games in a row. It's only the second time in Matt Painter's career, because later on in the season we have three home games in a row. It's only the second time in Matt Painter's career that's happened in the Big Ten season. So
when your dad said that on the other podcast last night, I was shocked.
Yeah, it's weird. Some of the weird things happening, but I guess with 18 teams,
you got to have something.
Happen. Yep.
You're going to have weird stuff happen, but this is the easiest week stretch that we're going to have.
Yep, but don't take anybody lightly. It's college basketball. Weird things can happen. So,
but can't drop these games if you want to win Big Ten title, and that is their goal.
And the Big Ten title starts the road to even better, like you've mentioned, because win the Big Ten, you're in line to get a really good seed. So,
and they want – I know they want the – they want to come to the Midwest.
Oh, start absolutely.
Start the United Center, go down to Indy.
Because it would go St. Louis, United Center.
United Center. Right? Yep.
Yeah. You can't get closer to home than that.
No. And you would want that.
Actually, when Illinois made the championship in 05, they went Indy to United Center to St. Louis. So they did kind of the same route, but a little different order. So.
And that, man, that was 21 years ago.
I know. It doesn't seem that long ago, but yeah. Back when college sports were college sports, not semi-pro. So, all right. Well, let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Huskies, and beat the Nittany Lions.
Boiler up.